This session is supposed to be about planning for 1.10. I think I published the schedule a week or two ago. It's on the calendar now. Does anybody have concerns about the schedule? Does that like totally screw somebody's release up? Does that, Ajax, is that good for you?
Okay.
Is that good for?
18th of February, final release. 1st of December, 1st of February, 18th of February, the three dates.
That seems pretty reasonable.
That's good for us.
Is that good?
Yeah.
That was my goal. We pulled the 1.9 release back like a month and a half so that it would align with the release schedule better.
Thank you very much.
Yeah. It also happens to align with some other distribution that Intel does, but And that doesn't hurt Fedora at all?
Jack, I don't think it does. I mean, it doesn't matter that much.
Yeah, if it happens to align up or, you know, a week or two, the other direction would help. We can get it.
15
schedule.
Oh, it's got a break. Yeah. Otherwise, 2 months off of February.
Okay.
And then the release is going to be off for 16. So.
Yeah. It sounds like is anybody unhappy about our current 6 month cadence? Does anybody want to switch to a longer or shorter cadence?
I don't think we're thinking shorter.
We thought about shorter. I said, you know, we should really do shorter because even my quarterly driver schedule is kind of a disaster for us. In a lot of ways. It works out in getting bug fixes out. But in terms of new development, you know, we have new development kind of running asynchronously through our release process. It's okay if you have somebody actually managing stuff, but with the server release, there you don't have any humans that manage the release. We have a few projects that are planning on landing for 1.10. Major things are, what is the major thing? LibXKB. That should be landing for 1.10. The grander 1.4 stuff, which is the first map and the atomic mode set. I have the first ERTC PixMap code all written, and that's in my FDO repository. And the only stumbling block on the atomic mode set stuff is with a driver that doesn't support atomic mode set. When you emulate atomic mode set with the existing stuff, recovering from failure is a huge pain. So, yeah.
Don't do that then. I mean, just can you make it so that the driver can say, I'm sorry, I can't do atomic mode sets, and then that's how it pulls all the way back out to the client, which then gets to say,
I don't really want to pull it all the way back to the client, that's mean. Oh, the client would just have to do the failover itself, right?
The client has to be ready to fall back to what it would do for render 1.3.
Well, right, but I could do that same stuff in the server, right? The render XRender code to fail back to the previous configuration is in XRender. Should I put it in the server or should I not bother?
I would not bother. I mean.
The one problem not bothering is that makes it really hard for me to test without fixing the bunch of drivers. Because I can't test the atomic mode set until your driver supports it. That's an option I have not considered. Just no, I'm sorry.
Because the clients already have 1.3 support. Right? So if they're talking to a 1.3 server, they already know. So if they've got newer clients, eventually we're just not do 1.3.
Yeah, I don't really want to cut off old drivers though. So that's my concern. Only three vendor drivers, really?
Yeah. They exactly map to the KMS drivers. Almost as if those were the only ones that mattered at all.
Yeah.
So we should just do that.
Okay, that's a really good option. That's really a lot easier than my current plan.
You're welcome.
Okay. Does anybody else have something that they're planning on handing me for 1.10? a big pile of it for any functional changes or just API changes?
I can make myself a work on that too. I can command some of the EGL and GLX, the more EGL and GLX extensions that we've been talking about. Basically, porting the GLX extensions we've added to EGL. We have some specs that are on there. And then there's the event mechanism for harvesting.
Okay.
But I like it more. I would still be able to work on that. So I try to kill it at the same time. It's like I'm stabbing it and feeding it.
It's not a big deal. I mean, a lot of the work that we are doing in the X server right now is stuff like libxkdcon, right? It's pulling stuff out of the X server.
And the GLX or EGL stuff is useful because apps can start using it right away, right. And they continue to use it in other environments. So.
Right. So I mean.
For EGL, yeah, I think EGL is probably worthwhile. I don't know about GLX. Yeah. I mean, so. One thing we're pushing for is that we can use the EGL.
EGL 7 GLX.
But all the extensions that would be in charge of the
right.
Yeah. Except one, two, three.
Well, there's a couple of extensions. Yeah, they'll be in the Mesa.
We have a whole calendar, right?
Yeah, we should. Well, we may need some more. I'm not going to do all we've got the calendar there. But yeah, so that won't even be extra room. But yeah, we want EGL for apps.
Yeah.
Actually, we're against EGL.
That's not really a server issue. That's just that's an environment issue.
Yeah.
Okay. Anything else that people are thinking about doing for the server? I know Jamie and Josh are doing a bunch of cleanup work.
I try to merge some of the caches that we have in OpenBSD, and I also want to do some new work on cleaning up all the BSD console drivers code, because we have support for 4 BSD console drivers,
yeah.
But in fact there are only 2 that are currently used by the various BSD.
There are still 2 though?
Yeah, there are 4 BSDs, so 2 console drivers for 4 BSD projects is not too bad.
No.
But the 2 older ones, PC Cons and PCVT, can probably completely die. I'm currently working on this. It's almost finished on the current, and I'm going to try to get that integrated because it also removes code.
Yeah.
Nice.
So I'm thinking that we should change Jago's scripts that he ran last time on the server, that if you remove code from the server, you should get extra credit. That's pretty much our job right now is to get code that is system level code like keyboard management or output management or rendering stuff and getting it out of our tiny little window system and into a shareable environment.
Yeah, the last bit of that I know we still have pending that Tiago and I have been working on for a while is the XAS emulator.
Okay.
That's almost done.
Right. Oh, and yeah, and I hope we're going to get input threads.
Okay. Yeah, input threads seem entirely reasonable.
The branch Jago has works because it was accidentally running for 2 weeks without noticing.
That's the best kind of feedback. Okay.
Oh, the other thing that we're talking about is fixing up the smart scheduler to use the course timer.
That's a really small feature, but yeah.
Getting rid of the sig alarms hammering the server,
yeah,
would be pretty sweet.
Oh yeah, we can
figure that out. I mean, I looked just briefly at the code, and it's a little tricky because right now there's a global variable that holds the smart schedule time, mm-hmm. and it's fetched in like 5 places.
Yeah.
And picking which ones of those can be, you know, share the same value from the kernel call would be nice. We don't want to call it 5 times per request.
A couple other things. I want to get, it's a minor API break. I want to make it so that the VGA hardware drivers, anything that blows VGHW, has to explicitly say which kind of access components it uses. Right now, we default to IO space, but in order to do that portably, you need to be using the PCI access routine, yep. Which opens a file descriptor that you don't need most of the time.
Right.
And also, we'll require privileges that you're going to post in time. Okay. So ideally, it would be MMIOT at all, but you need to say. And I've got most of the API conversion to the server here. And the drivers will need to then explicitly say which version of the pumps they need. That's source compatible if you do it. But all the drivers will need to fully change.
Yep. So that would actually help with all this stuff, right?
Yeah.
We kind of check there. Do we need IO from IO from
all that?
Do you remember what I said about 20 before?
All the other drivers still good on the VT switch, right?
Yeah.
I'd certainly like to encourage people to look at what it's going to take to resolve the three issues for root access right now. It seems like the one, the killing your parent one, SIG user one. Maybe we could either do Ajax's pipe pack, add Ajax's pipe pack. We've already got the SIG stop one, where you stop yourself when you're ready. And your parent process sends you a comp. So that's actually very compatible from a signal perspective, because the parent process would get a SIG child. It's the only signal you can send to a process that you don't have normal privileges to touch is a SIG child. So that's kind of a cute hack. Yeah?
I have a collection of patches that are a couple months old waiting for anybody to review them.
Okay.
That I would like to make one check.
Okay.
Some warnings, fixes.
Okay. Yeah, has anybody, there are a bunch of warnings in DMX right now.
I had to fix most of those when I don't find it.
I would love to have the server built without warnings.
Do you want to?
It's really pretty close.
It is. You should hit the compiler to mean that on, because they keep adding warnings.
Yeah, that's fine.
Related to that, Once someone eliminates all the warnings of a given type, highly recommended to add the GCC option that says make that particular type of warning an error.
No.
We can't do full W error because GCC always feels like adding more warnings.
Even then, I'm more than willing to bounce patches that add warnings in my build environment, and I build most of the code. But I don't want anybody else's build environment to stop because there's a warning. You're gonna get people just flaming you.
It's really a shame we can't use WR or WR on a specific type of
random bizarre warnings.
So are we getting that same warning on other situations?
They're all a function of how the optimizer changes.
Exactly. I don't want to add, and now it might be nice to have a configure option so that on my build, it stopped when there was a warning. But I certainly wouldn't want that to be default.
I think you have a configure option to enable
W error all, yeah. But I think Josh's idea of turning on
just specific warnings.
Although W error all for my build would probably be fine. And so when all the warnings are gone, I can turn it on. That's a good idea. Yep. I will just bounce patches that cause my build to break, and I'll have the errors in W error all.
Also turn it off in some of the tinder boxes.
No, I'm okay with the tinder boxes just flagging warnings, right? The tinder box builds can flag warnings. I don't want the tinder box build to not catch all of the errors and warnings, right? That's really bad. I don't want the tinder box build to get as much data as it can. And if you add W error all, then it stops building.
It stops it in the server and the other driver.
Yeah, exactly. That kind of sucks. So that's simple build cleanups. Anybody else working on anything exciting? I did want to talk a little bit about and discuss whether we want to start integrating drivers into the server tree. In particular, I'm mostly interested in having input drivers integrated into the server tree. Peter and I talked last night about the Wacom driver and having that integrated into the server tree. He said, we can't do that as GPL. Well, it's in our source tree. It's in Git. It doesn't really matter where in Git that driver lives.
It's not in Xorg Git.
Is it?
Yeah, it's. I thought Peter had it in his home directory.
Yeah, I have
it in, but it's not under free desktop Xorg at all.
Well, it needs to be. It's an Xorg driver. It needs to get put there. Right?
We never accept a GPL driver.
What?
Keyword's a GPL driver on Linux.
Yeah. We already have a GPL driver in our code already. This is not a new thing. They keep
working. That was accidentally GPL, not intentionally.
Yeah. Sure.
It doesn't matter. And we're shipping it.
And it's only and only on Linux.
Yeah.
And I mean, someone could probably send mails to break and get it non-GPL in the hardware.
It doesn't matter. We've shipped the Katamari with GPL drivers. We've clearly moved beyond that. Now, if you want to package, if you don't want to build it on a particular system, that's another issue. And just shipping the source code is not a problem.
I think with just those technical issues that we're making all the road at this point, it's eventual.
Other technical?
Well, with EVIF and Synaptics, and mouse and keyboard the same, they move so slowly that having a weaker server doesn't really matter. Mm-hmm. It would be fine because that's pretty much what there is. Like, oh, server releases coming up, the tag loads, and
right.
Mouse and keyboard changes are pretty much to track the server changes because the actual hardware is
doesn't change.
It's either changing down to the kernel level and the drivers aren't changing or.
Right.
And Wacom at the moment sees the rate of changes that.
Is it releasing more often than every 6 months?
I think at the moment we're releasing every 3 weeks.
Okay.
It's like every 30 patches. It's like every 2 weeks. Yeah, they clearly do 50 patches.
Okay. Well, maybe that doesn't make sense. But does it make sense to consider integrating the input drivers that never change, mouse and FDEV and keyboard?
Mouse and keyboard?
Yeah.
Do you want them integrated? This is not, as the release manager, again, my goal is not direct policy. My goal is to implement desired changes.
We upgrade them when we upgrade the server. It's not like the video drivers where we have to backport to old servers because we need support for a new chipset.
Right.
So if it makes it easier to do the input API changes that Peter's doing.
Not really, because the thing with the API changes is that as long as you have at least one driver that's not in the server.
Yeah.
So it's really just that whole version discussion is two parts of it. One is the API changes, which, you know, once you have all of them in there, you can do with API whatever you want, and you're fine. But the other thing is that Git doesn't do what we need. That's the reason why we got the long version of that.
You think so?
If Git would do bisecting across two repositories,
yeah.
But what the only benefit you get from merging it back in is that it's the bisect. That's the real benefit.
You get two major benefits. You can bisect it, and you can and you get instant feedback from whether you broke it something. And you get everybody building the new bits all the time. So that's the two things you get. So when you change an API, the person who commits the API change is required to fix all users of that API in the tree.
Yes.
So that means that when API changes happen, that the drivers that are in the tree get the API change implemented in them. So you don't have to separately manage that.
You'll still miss them. Like the dev private change missed the mouse driver that only uses a dev private in the Sun code.
Right, but you would catch that instantly as soon as you update it, right?
And I'm sure half the people who build are going to disable mouse and keyboard anyway because they only need that data.
Right. Well, you would catch it right away, or a Tinderbox would catch it right away.
But I did check out everything.
Right.
Certainly, with unpacking on that server, I figure in everything that I'm trying to see.
Right. Yeah, from my perspective, I would turn everything on and build as much as I could. Which is what I do today.
Just out of interest, how far are like, who's running master X server?
Of course.
Yeah, that's a big worry.
I'm on one now.
Yeah. So, well, I think the number is always like 3 or 4 people. At the conference, you're asking, it's 3 or 4 people. Yeah.
I test it pretty regularly, but I don't know.
Yeah, there aren't that many. Do I need to do more frequent RCs?
They should be. They were on a schedule in the next phase. If there were any changes during the stabilization phase, every 2 weeks they pop out.
Yeah, after the merge window is over, I've been trying to do weekly or biweekly RCs. And I'm not as frequent as I should be, but just because doing an RC is still too much work. or the process is like 10 steps in it, so it takes me 15 minutes, which is a slight, which means I don't do it as often as I should do.
That doesn't really matter to me that much. RCs are just fireballs that correspond to a series of Git patches I can put in my
Could an RC just be a tag and email message? Do I need to generate tarballs for RC?
No, GitHub will do it for you.
Exactly, right? Yeah. So can I stop generating tarballs? The tarballs are the big thing. Yeah, the tag is not easy.
I don't think I just use the tag or just consider that after the first RC, the code is not going to change too much unless I'm unhappy and just put it pull away where you're putting stuff. And then I'm testing this, not the tarball anyway.
Okay.
And
it seems like it's still worthwhile at this
check. Making this check is easy. If the generating the tarballs and uploading them is kind of a thing.
I have a tarball out of this.
You generate a lovely script, and every time I run that script, I have to figure out how it looks again.
It's a Announceify module and the two tags that you're announcing.
Is that the release
script? Yeah, the release script. You have to remember the tag names, which means digging through the Git repository to remember what the previous tag was.
There.
Can't it figure this out for me?
If you can figure out a way that Git to tell you the most recent tags, and the tags in Git creation order show.
Git describe.
Then yeah, you can do that.
You don't want Delta creation.
So you look at the branch because you need to announce the Delta.
Git describe head caret will tell you what the last previous tag was.
Yeah.
this seems brutal. In any case. More frequent RCs would be good. Do I need to do snapshots during the merge window? Because our merge window is pretty long.
If you do them the same way, right? Tag where, I mean, this is again the X-ray agency policy. Every 2 weeks, if there's a change, bong, 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 99.1.2.3.4, then up to 900.901.903.
Okay.
And if you're only doing the tags,
right,
then that's pretty.
Yeah.
But is there even any value in doing that during the merge window? If you're not using Git during the merge window, you're not likely to get your changes into the repository.
And
what's the point of a snapshot?
Awareness. It reminds people that, hey, there's something new to this.
I often pick a snapshot when I feel like things have been reasonably calm. And one of the things that I usually do for a snapshot is I actually do a little bit of, you know, minor touch testing of the server. But when I push changes right now, I build test the server after every merge, but I don't run the server after every merge. And one of the things that the snapshots would say is that this server ran on my hard disk.
You can probably, at least these days, integrate XGS into the Tinderbox to run the server in the virtual machine somewhere. Like I've been trying to set that up on one of the internal servers we have in the office. But just whatever comes in, you run the XGS against it, so that at least you know what's going to crash.
Yeah.
All the server tests.
Yeah.
Do people want tags or would just a hash ID?
Well, tag is the same thing, right?
Yeah. And you want to do an actual tag. It's very, because tags have a numeric ordering.
Yeah.
And so you can know if you're running something older.
Yeah.
And just looking at a hash on something like that.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
On the subject of merging drivers and Git servers, I'd like to nominate the video dev driver.
Ooh. That was probably a credible plan.
And it avoided
the dummy video driver?
Yeah, like
that would actually catch API changes pretty quickly, wouldn't it? And let us know what needed to be fixed in other drivers. So even for the internal and external drivers, you could just post the diff to the video dummy driver and say your driver needs to have these changes in it.
Yeah, but the dummy driver doesn't use all the APIs.
No, it doesn't.
Just a very small subset that there is. There's no mode setting and whatever.
It's a simple.
It would catch something, right? The main thing is having it merged in the server. It generally doesn't change when new hardware is released, because there's very rarely new dummy hardware release.
Anybody ever touched it recently?
I don't know.
I haven't touched it since I wrote it.
I think I had in your release of something a couple of months ago.
I deleted some things out of it that were redundant, and I at one point added render 1.8 support. I don't think I ever merged that.
So what I'm consolidating in this code.
Right, that's something that would be lovely to see happen. And one of the advantages of merging the drivers in is that would be
easy. It would be easy, but I think it's worth more than help.
Yes.
KMS is no longer your KMS.
Yeah.
It's a basic KMS.
We stopped putting that prefix on that just
so hard. Three releases. Thanks to Gator, there's that about 20 commits.
Wow.
The IT is written by Gator.
Okay, I like that notion that we can just merge the dummy video driver and the null input driver, and at least we'll catch some of the most egregious ABI changes.
Is there a null input driver?
Yes,
or
it's
void.
It's called void.
Yeah.
If you're having ABI changes, isn't there a way to just check
ABI?
No. I mean, I'm new to this, so
you can't tell when the ABI has changed unless you think about it. And we have our canary who checks the ABI, and that's Eric. Eric tells me when the ABI has changed.
She only does that for video.
That's not entirely true. You could do it.
We have no way to
part
do it.
That much code.
It's pretty hard when you make minor semantic changes without changing the actual arguments.
Okay, let me rephrase that. I can tell you function signature changes. I can tell you structure size changes. Those are programs.
Yeah, which of those are part of the video API?
Everything that, if you run edit-ad, get a list of exported symbols. That's it.
So do we only want one ABI version for all drivers then? Get rid of our separate video input?
No, because otherwise, whenever I on the input API,
all your video drivers
will be the drivers.
Yeah. So we can only tell if the server ABI has changed, not if
the menu. Yeah, but categorizing is pretty quick.
Okay.
There's only a couple dozen exported types.
From my perspective, we have somebody who does this for us. If he wants to automate it, that would be fun.
Do we have any plans for SDK since to this edge?
Sorry?
Do we have any plans for SDK since to this edge?
I can take that on if you want.
What do you want to do to it?
Make it go away.
Cool.
It's broken.
Yeah.
It's a C parser in awk. It can't possibly work.
Yeah.
And it exposes far more ABI than we actually want. So things we are making effective ABI promises about symbols that we shouldn't be.
Yeah.
So I had this working better before, and it was merged in name of getting other linker feature working, which was the same. So,
why are you using SDK
We do.
The problem is when SDK was merged, pretty much every function was marked X export.
Right.
And now we're in a state that look at a function and go, is that an ABI? Can I break this? Can I remove that X export?
Yeah. It used, and the way I had it before, the export was at the definition of function, which meant that while you were reading it, you knew. And now it's at the declaration, because it's too far away to find out.
Yep.
But I can fix that. I don't want to, but I can.
What a pain.
Yep.
Okay. So that'll give us some ideas. If you want to merge drivers into the server, there are some advantages. We know the advantages, but it seems to me that my primary goal is so that users of the Git version of the server end up running all modern drivers instead of a bunch of stale drivers and one modern driver. In particular, people that are running current, like people that run an RC, Do they go get RC and current versions of their input drivers? I don't know. They do if there's an ABI change, but otherwise they probably don't.
I think we had an ABI change.
Yes.
Somebody lost.
Okay.
But so it went from input ABI 0 in 1.3 to 12.
Wow. Smart work.
Well, 12 is queued up.
Yeah.
Yeah, I only rebuild when I need to, and it stopped building.
Right.
So my server headers went to fake. Anyway.
Yeah.
And then it's a good thing I haven't had bisect, because going back into an old X server target.
Yep.
Just one quick question. Do you want to merge the configure scripts of the drivers or just the code, do recursive calls to configure?
Configure scripts?
All of them. There's all the tools set to build the driver.
Oh, yeah, obviously. You would build the driver and the service all together. You put the makefile.ams in, throw away the configure scripts, merging in the options in the master configure script.
Okay, there would be only one configure that
yes.
Script.
Yeah. Yes.
Not the big utility.
No, I don't want to nest configures. So, I'm most interested in having input drivers merged. I don't really care about the output drivers because everybody only needs one output driver. It would be nice if my output drivers were merged. That would mean just one build for me. But my most concern is that they want a new output driver. It needs a new server. So they get the new output driver, they get the new server, and then they have to go get all the input drivers, which is kind of a pain.
The thing is that most of our testers are going to be tested multiple
right.
Where, so and the right. Input drivers are, as I said, the limits are slowly. If you have right. A stale input driver, it's not going to make much of a difference.
Except it's the wrong input driver. You have to go get it. So you install your new server, and you install your new video driver, and you run the new server, and the new server says, I have no input devices because all of your input drivers are stale.
All two of them.
Yeah, yeah. The, oh, one of them.
Okay. Some users have here, they also have, well, they have FDM and Wacom or
Savannah from Seaboard. Yeah,
exactly. And so now you're sitting there with a black screen and a big X cursor and you push the mouse around.
Yeah, like, we still don't know what X cursor. People just get the black screen and think it's dead.
Yeah, exactly. So, I don't know.
There is one problem with this discussion. You are just talking about this from a master running developer point of view, and not from a user point of view.
No, a user running in RC. No, a user running in RC is my point here. I want people to be able to run our RC releases as regular users. And right now, they have to download a
sure.
Big pile of modules.
But that's more of a scripting issue than anything else. Making a build system that users can run.
We have never managed to do that. We had a bunch of meta build systems that keep failing.
Maybe build at this stage is at a stage where you can't just run it and build everything. The problem is something in that pile will break.
Yeah.
And that.
Well, the other thing is the users pulling down RC releases of the X server and the other modules aren't normal. They're pseudo-developers. And so I think they'll work out a little bit better. Most users are going to be using like distro packages, right? And right. Like some distros like Ubuntu have really nice setups where they pull the latest in bits. You can just add a repo and you can,
yep.
You don't even have to think about it. You can just get up and you can
yep.
Get all the latest bits, which is I think where the focus should be if we're looking for ease of use on relatively with this
yes,
stuff. To me, it's the same. I mean, I understand what you're saying about the users having to deal with multiple modules versus a single module or whatever. But I think that class of users is relatively small. I think the developer focus is actually the right one for this.
For input drivers, it would be kind of nice because if your keyboard driver does get out of sync with your X server, then you can't even get to a VT to shut down nicely.
You end up rebooting.
Yeah, that's not so fun.
Yeah.
It's hilarious.
So, well, something to think about. The main thing for any driver like that is somebody needs to sign up to be the maintainer for that driver if it gets merged. I'm willing to be the maintainer for the null video driver, the void improved driver. But anything else, somebody needs to sign up as the maintainer, because if it gets merged into the X server, it needs to follow the X server development process, which involves somebody as the maintainer for that to send patches, to review patches and make sure they get committed correctly, and send pull requests to the main server.
So if you want, like, I-128 or something. That is, I mean, that driver doesn't see changes. The only changes it gets actually base is a bad one.
Base might not be a bad one.
Base and FDAP, actually. Because yeah. Those are dead simple. The only reason they need changes is generally because the API and the server has changed.
Yeah.
Same goes for the eight rows we still have.
It's not FBDev. You have taken FBDev and modified it. Yeah, which is correct, right? You don't need FBDev. You need only FBDev.
Yeah, I'll merge those.
Okay.
I mean, and in the sense of those are your commanders.
Yeah, I think so. I think we have a pretty good notion of what should be merged. It's stuff where the drivers themselves aren't changing very radically, but where we can use them as canaries to tell when ABI or API has changed, and where we're going to get additional compilation testing across different OSs by putting them in the server.
We had an SS-like driver, which we're hoping to kind of scale up that amount of one.
That would be appropriate as well, yeah.
They, and it would also kind of give you, if you just did the X server, that would give you a complete working system. You'd have data, you'd have
but something that would stand a chance of working on its own.
That's pretty cool.
Kind of cute.
Yeah. That's almost a good idea.
I mean, but to the extent that phaser can never be a good idea.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, which is why it's not actually a good idea. It's what you have done.
There's a very minor problem with that. The version numbers on those are going to happen. Because right now, it's in like 2.3.0. So the release.
Yeah.
Like if I'm a distributor, I already have a separate package for the phase and driver.
Right.
Do I drop it? Or but if I split it out from that build, it has to be the same EDR as the
package.
Well, so would it be crazy to call 1.10.10?
Because it's a problem. Any number we've ever used before.
No, it's not. It's one less.
Extending that thing. Just
we call it X12.
Yeah,
we
should.
No, our X goes. It breaks up those checks for less than 7 to see if we're greater than 1 mile.
Do you think that would be a serious problem? Epicking your Visa module?
There is. I have to check whether RPM can give me an epic on a sub package and not the main package.
So you may end up epicking the whole X server.
Oh, yeah.
That would be awesome.
I would prefer not to, but yeah. Some other distros have done it too. So. There's nothing in the world that actually requires a version number in that sense, at least in Fedora. We have what I'm doing in 15 is I'm making it so that the video drivers depend on the API versions.
Okay.
Which means I don't care.
Okay. Well, we'll think about it.
There are still going to be separate tarball releases for each mod, each driver, whatever.
Anything integrated into the X server will be in the X server tarball. It will not be separately released. So we'll have a single source package, and we'd expect the distributor to break it out into separate binary packages.
So for stable releases to the drivers, then you'd be part of the stable branch, which is one of my main worries.
Yeah.
This is massive.
Oh, if you need to update them. Throughput driver.
If you have 2.something stable release, is the amount of 5 minutes.
Yeah.
Do we make sure when the stable update requires someone actually with a stable maintainer?
Yeah,
so on and so forth.
So all the version numbers of the individual modules, and they just kind of revert to the server version number?
Yes. They would not be separately released.
is there any fundamental reason, if those drivers are integrated into the X-Server tree, that they should continue to be shipped by distros as separate packages?
Yes.
Is there any point?
Yeah, from a binary perspective, absolutely. Because most people don't need to know video driver installed on their machine.
So they really want to save a couple of K.
Oh, yeah, well, absolutely.
I don't think you understand how crazy you are.
Pretty sure I do.
Oh, well, your question indicates that you have something else.
Yeah. They notice if it's a separate package, they can uninstall.
Yeah.
But otherwise, they'll just say, oh, look, the X server has grown a bit. Oh,
well, and frankly, right now, when you install the Debian X server, you get
all the drivers.
I don't think.
I mean, if you install your kernel, you'll get all the drivers. And
yeah.
You only use a small fraction.
Yeah. I don't install the Debian kernel, so it's not an issue. Yeah. So.
And if you install the Mesa packages, you get
all the Mesa drivers, yeah. So it would be cool if we could figure out how not to install the world, but we don't know how to do that. Although smart people can just get the drivers that they just need. Okay. So for 1.10, is somebody interested in merging the void input driver, the null output driver, and maybe the Visa and FDNet output drivers?
It doesn't save you work either way.
No.
I mean, from a maintenance standpoint, it doesn't make an actual bit of difference in my life.
Right. Yeah, the only question is, would it be useful for API changes to signal when those need to happen to the driver, other drivers?
Well, in the sense that you don't push changes that fail to.
Right.
Otherwise, in a bug, catch it anyway today.
Right, but then you have to rework. So, I don't know. We'll think about it.
I don't think the problem was ever that we even know that we're going to fix the drivers after they get up, right? Because presumably the person doesn't kind of realize they've just done it.
No.
Or that they just completely, or they forgot a couple of drivers.
Right, so, yeah.
And then, you know, that problem doesn't go away. So,
right. Although having the diff in the server tree that shows what changed in the Visa driver would be a pretty strong. Would you be able to just pull that out, watch the Visa driver, and say, oh, look, the API's changed. The maintainer with a Radeon driver would know to change, how to change. They'd have a model of how to change the API.
I think.
So,
maybe if I could report.
What?
Maybe if I could report.
Yeah. It might be kind of, whatever. It's something that people would ask you about for a long time. Oh, the other thing is merging the protocol packages.
Again, this doesn't make my life better or worse.
No, it doesn't make your life better or worse, but it makes releasing the makes the protocol packages maintained better. Because right now, they are, all of them are released randomly whenever somebody needs a particular one released. The little ones.
The only real protocol changes that will be coming in is usually random.
Yep.
Random?
Okay.
DRI2.
Yeah, DRI2. Yeah,
so that's a lot of years XKB. In a couple of years XKB.
Yeah.
Sometime after new chips appearance.
But before as well.
Yeah, before as
well. It makes the 3D, they call it a subject that needs to be focused on that.
No. Protocol packages are not in the server. No.
We're not working on the protocol split packages into one protocol header.
Yeah.
Also.
Okay.
Protocol headers or the protocol library?
Headers. Just the header files.
And why not just program all the protocol libraries together as well?
Oh, XCV does. I think XCV should do that. But that's not. Right?
The sense we're talking about right now, XCV does do.
Yeah, you only have
one tree.
One tree.
Yeah. Well, classic protocol. They update more asynchronously. If I have a render protocol change, that requires new API. Why am I changing LibExponent? LibExponent didn't change.
Yeah, I don't know that the libraries need to be merged together. But the protocol headers are only used by developers, and each of them is two files, two h.h files, and a text file.
I don't understand how they link up the libraries.
They don't link up the libraries.
The libraries because the server needs them too.
Right.
But the servers just on the end of the libraries and then some sort of...
The libraries are separate. Right. Libraries, protocol, server.
The libraries are all separate part of the server. It doesn't link against the XOR, doesn't link against libX11. Why would I need libX11 to start as a...
interface lives in one place anyway.
Yes. The interface definition is the protocol header.
Changing the interface for all the protocol heads that are ahead for one protocol header then means that all the protocol headers need some version bump and then the libraries will depend on the next version.
No, the libraries depend upon the versions in the .pc files and those don't change.
Right.
Yeah, and where did those .pc files live?
Right now they live with all the protocol and all the in this split protocol.
So there will be only one .pc file.
No, there will be the PC file for
as many as there are today.
I mean, the main advantage of this is that if you're bringing up a new machine to test or find a bug or whatever, instead of pulling down, doing configure over and over again to find all the stupid photos you need,
and missing
your distro doesn't have, you know, you just pull down one photo and you're done. I mean, what are the downsides, really? I can't think of them. It's just proto headers. They're tiny. They each have their own PC files, so you don't have to worry about affecting your actual library code builds. Right? I mean, are there downsides?
When you start changing, then you have to agree that, okay, we're ready to release both the XIQ and the XTB changes in sync, or we're ready for the XTB to stabilize.
You don't merge until you're ready, right?
Yeah, then how do you test?
You test the material.
Yeah.
You use branches until you're ready to release and then.
MPX was ready to merge when it was merged, and then we realized it wasn't quite ready at all.
You know, but there's counter examples for that too. Like when I was doing the DR2 and GL stuff, I always had that GL proto and DR2 proto updated, and whenever I didn't do one of them, everything would fail in weird ways. So sometimes you have to coordinate, other times you really want them to be linked.
Yeah. I don't know. Do we have any resolution? Daniel offered to do it.
It doesn't mean that this or packages have to be integrated with either. It's not saying anything about how this or package it either. This serves if they want to and still keep the DC files on there.
I do both files. I have one protocol with bell package.
Right, so there you go.
And it stays up to date every time that it gets bumps.
Yep.
Because they're backward compatible build interfaces.
Yep.
The better.
Yep. Well.
So again, it doesn't take my opinion part. It
doesn't change what you're doing at all. It makes the build of that package run faster because you only run configure once.
You know what I don't care about at all?
Yeah, exactly.
That happens off in a cluster somewhere the other side of the country.
Other side of the country?
Yeah, our build servers are in Phoenix. Well, the entire Fedora data center is in Phoenix.
Because?
That's where we bought those.
Okay.
Because cooling is so much cheaper.
Right, Boston was too warm.
Yeah, I'm just a rabble browser. It's one of my jobs.
All this everything we're doing here is talking about how to make it easier for people who are trying to work.
Yes. What would make it easier?
Yeah, software is kind of hard.
But yeah, I know every single time I build a Mac server on a fresh machine, I curse them. The 3 dozen photo headers. Another one. Another one.
Well, I would really like us to think of the whole suite of protocol headers and all of the extensions as our protocol and not really think of them as distinct subsets. Right? When you think of the X server today, you know, it's got render, composite, damage, fixes, a million extensions.
Those are details, right?
It's that's just because that's the mechanism that X gives us to extend the API. Right? We don't have another mechanism to extend the API. You know, nobody else has extends their API by adding more packages.
Yeah.
Right, right, but in total they do make up the protocol for the server.
Right. And it's not like any of our, we have a couple of optional extensions that not everybody turns on.
Yeah. But when you deprecate extensions, then you don't actually ship traffic proto anymore.
Right. Well, we can do, we, you know, we delete it from our package. I'm sorry, that's no longer part of our API.
But then we just move the headers into the library that still needs it for people who have apps linking it.
But we stop shipping it. They want to keep shipping it. Have a good time.
That's not true. We still have the LBX protocol headers. That hasn't shipped in years.
Well, yeah, we can move them out into a legacy package.
We removed the swap and LBX from the OpenBSD based system, and none of the ports that we have, of course, we have not ported every software on ours, but we have almost 6,000 different ports.
Nothing used. Shocker.
Yeah. It's not that difficult to remove stuff because the use case for those protocols are very, very small, I think.
Yeah.
We still run DPS just so that query extension actually returns false instead of a linker error.
Oh. By the way, there are still calls to Xprint, AWD, config in Xlogo, and a few other applications, so you cannot regenerate the configure script with the current code path because we don't have the M4 macro for Xprint.
Yeah, we need to push the new tarballs out. We probably finished pushing the tarball for everything we had to remove Xprint from.
Fail.
So, the only other thing that I actually want for 110 is I want to finish getting it so renderers that are on use the same protocol and actually generate the same protocol. Like, you use the same code internally.
The same code internally, yeah.
So that I can have render on two GPUs at work.
I think Jamie and Joshua are starting to poke at that a little bit. Basically,
you really only need to move the dispatch code to one place and have a screen hook for either updating the current rectangle or getting or querying the current list of recs. And it's not much more than that. There are still bugs where we have some extensions that aren't zero aware.
Right.
And you didn't work with patches for that. But those
not
are
a
bugs.
Bad person.
Those are bugs.
Yeah.
And I'm changing how Xenon is implemented in the multiple IPs, the actual rendering multiplexer is lovely.
Yeah.
But it's top.
Okay, so can we turn on the current rendering multiplexer in the absence of the Xenon extension?
If you do that, you will get bad render geometry, and actually that's it. Everything else will work. Okay, some extensions will choose not to register, and your geometry from R&R will be wrong. Okay. But it does work for the case of one head.
So we need to Zitteramify render, and that's about what we need to do.
Yeah. They need to share the same dispatch code because you need to share this. You need to be able to query on the screen right. You need to look at the rectangles for your problem.
Yeah.
Your and there's a MI version that just uses one.
Yeah.
And that way, you also get. Although this is a little bit bizarre, but you would get a consistent set of rectangles if you had Radeon and NVIDIA in the same box. Because you could ask TwinView what its rectangles are, and Rander would say what its rectangles are, and Zenorama would tell you the right thing.
When you query through this Rander
would only show you the CRTCs it knows about, and there could be other boxes.
Right.
So
if you had two Rander cards, I want the render extension to show that as one screen.
Right.
So the render extension needs to be Zitteramified.
Right.
Which means we need to name our CRTCs
at the top level.
At the top level.
Yep, we sure do.
So it would just have to rename the CRTCs and wrap them all.
Yeah. And just throw the device type all the way up to the server and say, I've got a new one, tell me what its name is.
Yep.
And you wouldn't have to have a map. gonna say you need a map from the render name so that so the name of the DRM is shown.
Nope, you just need the name.
You need the ID.
Okay, I would love to see that. I think that's the one big hole in render right now.
Yeah.
Doing meta mode setting, doing atomic mode setting across multiple cards would be entertaining.
Yeah. So you can get atomic down to the level of the GPU, and that may actually be the first fluid argument I've heard for a GPU object. I thought they were necessary before, but CRPC objects on their own give you enough geometry information to say these output plugs are CRPCs. You don't necessarily need to know that these CRPCs are a collection, right? But that would be the one way, because then you can say this set I can do atomically, this set I can do atomically. You really don't have a better way to do that, I think.
No.
But those are
few all atomically, and the server would just do this one atomically,
and then back out.
But then I need to back out.
But that's a lot easier because you set it up atomically in the first place, you know you probably can put it back atomically.
I can put it back incrementally if it was working incrementally before.
Right.
So
that's true.
Is there a way to represent which CRPCs are associated with which GPUs? So that you can have a GUI or something, show that. Like, you have a machine with chip, and then you put in a discrete, you want to know which monitors are attached to each one of the machines.
That's the GPU object would be very little more than. Like right now we've got a CRT, the CRTC say these outputs are possible.
Right.
And Jax, the other reason we need a GPU object is because the rendering space for a particular GPU can change where the CRTCs from that GPU can land if using a single frame object.
Yeah.
So internally,
we'd need to expose that to applications so it wouldn't find CRTCs beyond the rendering bounds of the GPU that
so attached
to.
We need to push that down all the way to the CRTC. Because right now what we expose in render for rendering limits is the screen size. And that's wrong.
It's correct if you have one GPU on the screen.
No, it's not. The screen size on an Intel chip is legitimately unlimited vertically. I can keep them as 32 kilopixels apart, but each frame buffer needs to be 2K wide max.
Yeah.
So the screen size is not actually a relevant consideration. The screen size may be a relevant consideration if your driver is broken and it has frame buffer max, and has a single frame buffer allocation.
Yeah.
If you don't, if you have first CRPC fixed maps, then your screen max is 32K.
Yeah.
So we need to have CRTC size limits, not just screen size limits. So we don't have that right now.
That's true.
It seems like a natural
size limits, space limits.
Actually, the first CRTC fixed map has limits on the maximum.
Okay.
CRTC size. I need that.
Yeah, sure. And so you would then have to, and then you would also want that for the GPU as well.
Right. You need to, yeah.
You need GPU size limits, the GPU needs to say which CRTCs are bound.
And the pix, and can you create a scan out pix map and have that map to multiple GPUs with Zinnerbox?
Let's say no.
Yeah, well, exactly. So we have to expose GPU objects because the client has to know which GPU they're talking about.
Who's Shadow?
What?
Who's Shadow?
Thanks, man.
Yeah, Shadow would be great. We gave up on Shadow. It's too hard.
Shadow GPU if you don't want render to be correct.
Exactly. If you don't want GL to work.
GL doesn't have a problem. GL has implicit. GL has limits. GL protocol can say, I'm sorry, you can't render to anything wider than
yeah,
this.
Yeah, exactly.
And so in that case, I don't care. GL is a solved problem. Render promises that 32K works.
Yeah.
Because render doesn't make any stronger insurances.
Oh. Shadow. Shutter.
I still want it to work, because you still want to be able to render to large fixed maps.
Yes, but that's...
But it's a secondary concern for us here. You can do these in two stages.
Okay. We have spent an hour. And now it's time to go take a nap before we go out to eat, right?
Yep.
Do you have any... closing? Do you have a closing letter or anything?
No, we have to bank on that paperwork stuff.
Yeah. Oh, I have checks for people who need reimbursements. I need actual amounts. If you don't get your check today, you're unlikely to ever get it.
Bad luck with the other one.
Which hotels, Chuck? Oh, he's at the Holiday Inn.
That's on your way. If you want to stop by and kick his door and it rolls over to it. If we, so I have a comment on the format on the I think the conference as well, like the hosting or the venue's good. If we do it in Brazil especially, I think we should start at least an hour later. Even though it'll be today, but it would have fun.
Yeah, 9 o'clock on Saturday, dude. You understand that the bars are open all night, Friday night, right?
Yeah.
Saturday night, too. There was some argument between the government and the bars. First, last year, they wanted to force bars to close at 2 o'clock in the morning, and there was some argument in court, and I think court said, no, you cannot force bars to close that early, so they are back to the previous situation where it can be open all night and weekend. Am I right here?
There were people out drinking all night last night, so.
Yeah, the bars we were at, they closed at 2, and then we were looking for bars
everybody is thank Matthew for hosting a fabulous conference. And thank you all for showing up for 3 days in Toulouse. Hope everybody's had a great time here.
No more talking.
Keep talking out.
And have a good evening, and we'll see you next year someplace on the other side of the planet. All right.